Welcome to Chumbology, a Chumbawamba anthology podcast. On this podcast, we are digging song by song, album by album, through the discography of one of the most overlooked bands of all time, Chumbawamba. Today, I really tried to do it straight, but as soon as I said Chumbawamba, I heard Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba. Fucking Jay Leno is living in my head.
Yeah, rent free, baby.
Rent free. I'm gonna start charging him rent because I'm a scummy landlord. We'll talk about that more in a minute, but today we're talking about the song Drip Drip Drip, which is track 3 off of Chumbawamba's 8th studio album, Tub Thumper. And today we are doing episode 2AT after Tub Thumping on our long decline into irrelevance. And I just wonder how long we're gonna keep that bit going.
Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah,
we kept the Swing It With Raymond bit up the entire album. So
we did. You're right. So is our next challenge to keep a different bit up for literally the rest of the time we do the podcast?
I don't know. That's a lot of dedication. That's like think of when we end this podcast. One of us will probably be married by the time we end this podcast.
You think so?
Maybe it's like what, 4 years down the line.
I think it's like 3 years at this point. We've been doing it for about a year and a half now.
We could marry each other if neither of us gets hitched, just for tax purposes at that point. To protect our media empire.
Yeah, it's like one of those pacts that best friends make. Okay, yeah. If we're not married by the time we're 40, let's get married. If we're not married by the time we finish our Chumbawamba podcast, let's get married for tax purposes.
Yeah. That's a good bit.
Yeah, I mean, I do have strong Judeo-Christian values that place a strong emphasis on the importance of marriage between a man and a woman. Yeah. So I'm going to need to get over that in the next 3 years. But, you know, what is a podcast if not an opportunity for character growth?
Yeah, what is a podcast if not a beautiful woman? So
yeah. So I need to marry my podcast? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
We're getting polyamorously married to the podcast for tax purposes.
Let me just Google something real quick. Can you marry a podcast? Let's see what comes up when I the top 7 marriage podcasts you will love. This is boring. That's not necessarily gonna be a rich vein of comedy, unfortunately. Yeah.
I always forget that there's like normal people who live in this world who also listen to podcasts, and that there's like a vast wealth of podcasts that are like, this is how you should clean your house, like top 10 baby stories and shit like that. And it's always like, you mean every podcast isn't just like 3 mentally ill like 28-year-olds screaming at each other? Like there's
I edit podcast. I'm not going to like go into details, but I edit podcasts for one of the things I do for work. And all of them are very like normal people talking about normal topics for like what seems like a very normal audience.
Damn.
And then and I'm always like, yeah, this is fine, but like I'm always subconsciously waiting for them to like go off the fucking deep end.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the discussion. Where are the bits?
Like the closest I come is listening to like vaguely serious like political podcasts, but even then they throw in like a few bits, even if you're serious. I feel like to exist as someone on the left wing in this country at this point in your life, you have to have at least some sort of dark sense of humor.
Yeah. I agree with that. I also think that like podcasts in general are maybe the stupidest medium of all the mediums.
Oh, it's so funny.
And it's like if you start a podcast and take it too seriously, I don't know, it just isn't for me.
I think that it's so funny that podcasting is basically just like 50s talk radio, but repurposed for like millennials who don't have friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Do Zoomers like podcasts?
I feel like not as much. I feel like Zoomers are really into like direct contact with each other. Like every Zoomer I know is on like Discord, and there's like that house party app and shit like that. But every millennial I know is like depressed and like has like 4 friends. This is absolutely no shade on anyone who listens to our podcast, because I have parasocial relationships with the podcasts I listen to. But I feel like we're all just like 50s housewives who like don't leave the house anymore and just like listen to our radio shows to pretend that we have a social life. And that's partially the pandemic's fault, but
you pop it on in the background during the day to make it feel like you have company over.
And I do that. I listen to podcasts whenever I cook or clean or do anything that isn't this podcast or listening to music.
I am also often listening to podcasts when I'm lonely. So, you know, it is what it is. I could rock that. I could rock that 50s housewife hair, I think.
Yeah.
I could. I'll get my hair permed up and
wear an apron
all the time for some reason.
I just bleached my hair again last night, and it was the first time doing it by myself. And the entire time I was like, I'm going to fucking ruin this. My hair is going to fall out. Like, I am going to fry my fucking hair. But looks okay.
All right. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to dye it another color?
Yeah,
or
I'm
just going to leave it blonde.
I'm re-dyeing it pink tonight, but I wanted to wait 24 hours between chemical procedures.
Very responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that we've done the daily task of getting off topic.
I mean, it's not off topic. This is the free form zone, remember? Yeah. That's the structure of our podcast.
We're the Jay Leno's of DIY podcasts. So.
We're the Chumbawamba of podcasts.
Yeah, I'm the Jay Leno of Chumbawamba.
What does that make me?
The Johnny Carson. I don't know who Johnny Carson
is. Thank you.
I was like, when I said it, I was like, I hope that's one of the real ones, because.
Yeah, he's the one who was before Jay Leno, I think.
Okay.
I was watching this YouTube. This is my last unrelated tangent. I was watching this YouTube video yesterday that used a clip of Johnny Carson's Tonight Show in it for a reason. And in the clip, Johnny Carson was on stage at the Tonight Show just smoking a cigarette while
Hell
he talked.
Yes.
And I was like, damn, the 50s and 60s were a different time, weren't they?
Yeah. I think you should be able to smoke cigarettes on talk shows still.
Yeah.
If I had to be interviewed for something, I'd be a lot less nervous if I could chain smoke during it.
Well, you can smoke weed at the Joe Rogan Experience.
That's
right?
True. I could just I could smoke a spliff. That's like halfway to what I want.
So I'm putting it out there on the record for any person who is a guest on our podcast going forward, feel free to smoke while you're on the show if you want. if that's what you need to get through the day.
I used to vape on mic, but now I'm vegan straight edge, so.
I do remember that, because I always had to fucking edit out your fucking fat vape rips.
My vape arc.
Yeah. Vape redemption.
Now I just, drink protein powder and lift while we record.
Yeah.
I'm bench pressing 200 pounds while we speak right now.
Now I just take naps before we record. I took a nap today, and I'm feeling like I'm ready to fucking talk about Chumbawamba.
Yeah,
you know?
You're fully embracing that 1950s housewife lifestyle.
Yeah, I really am. All right, so like we said, today we're talking about the song Drip, Drip, Drip.
Yeah.
Dang, it's a good one.
It's a banger.
This is one of my favorite tracks on the album. I'm glad we're here. And as always, we've got some liner notes to read. You want to dive into those, Teddy?
Yeah, let's hop on over to those. Let me pull up the...
Yeah, thank you again to the fine folks at spunk.org for transcribing these liner notes for us.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore, Nim. We have a text format of this.
Friendship over with Nim. Spunk.org is my best friend now.
All right, do you want to start it off, or do you want me to?
Yeah. I'll start off. So the first note here is, as has been the case with the previous songs, the first one appears to be just a quote from the band themselves, who say, "Nobody chooses to live in the slums, but some make a good living from renting them out." And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, this is exactly what this song is about, and also still a prevalent problem today.
Yeah. Oof. Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. And then we dive into something from David Ricardo, who said, "The interest of the landlords is always opposed to the interest of every other class in the community."
Damn. Yep.
Yep. It's true. Yep. Just, these are not hard to comprehend. These are just spitting facts.
Just straight facts there. Up next, we have Jack Linden lived in a small cottage in Windley. He had occupied this house ever since his marriage over 30 years ago. His home and garden were his hobby. He was always doing something: painting, whitewashing, papering, and so forth. The result was that although the house itself was not much of a count, he had managed to get it into very good order. It was very clean and comfortable. Another result of this industry was that, seeing the improved appearance of the place, the landlord had on two occasions raised the rent. When Linden took the house, the rent was 5 shillings a week. 5 years later, it was raised to 7 shillings. and after a lapse of another 5 years, it had been increased to 8 shillings. During his 30-year occupancy of tenancy, he had paid altogether nearly £600 in rent, more than double the amount of the present value of the house. And that's from the ragged-trousered philanthropist Robert Trussell.
Not to step on, you know, the meaning of this quote, because it is, you know, again, horrifying and very applicable to modern day landlord-tenant relationships, but the ragged-trousered philanthropist sounds like a British children's book, and I'm just like, this is the most, like, British-sounding shit I've ever heard.
Yep. Also, damn, five shillings a week? I don't know, that's not a lot. I mean, I assume this was in the olden times, but...
Right, yeah. I don't want to talk about how much I pay in rent, because it's bad.
Yeah.
I really like this quote. I kind of want to get this quote printed on a letter that I send to my landlord that says, "Landlords have no rights. They forfeit them by engaging in a criminal enterprise, for which seizure of dwellings by those who actually live in them and complete discontinuance of paying rents are the only remedies." From Rent, An Injustice by Fred Woodworth. And I am just going to go ahead and copy-paste that into my notes to find at the library later, because that rules.
Up next we have It's a Typical Fudge. The new laws concerning strict controls on gas appliances means landlords are ripping out gas fires so you have no heating at all. Or if the tenants get a fitter to put the gas fire back, then the landlord can say it's nothing to do with him. In that case, you have the crazy situation where, technically speaking, the safety of the appliance is the tenant's responsibility. It's a very gray area, and we're talking about people in poverty who can't afford to get their appliances and chimneys checked, or they can't afford to get into a tussle with their landlord about it if they want to keep the roof over their heads. Worse still, most people I come across don't even know there's a danger. Gas fitter, Leeds, 1997.
Yeah. It's a typical fudge.
Yeah, typical fudge. It hurts reading these, like, very serious quotes, and then they throw some shit in there, like, it's a typical fudge, or the ragged-trousered philanthropist. It would be like, it's just like, yeah, this writing on, like, landlords is really good. It's by, like, Humpty Dumpty the Clown Man or some shit like that.
What's an American version of It's a Typical Fudge?
I don't know, like, it's a fuck-up?
What's a goofy Americanism that would just completely, like, it's a messy hokey-pokey? I don't know.
Really, really screwed the pooch.
Yeah. All right, next up is, an English priest was on a visit to a remote part of the north of Ireland. A local farmer offered to show him the sights. "That's Devil's Mountain," said the farmer. "Over there is Devil's Dyke. Devil's Wood starts on the other side of the river." "The devil seems to own a lot of property in these parts," smiled the priest. "Aye," agreed the farmer, "and like most other landlords, he seems to spend most of his time in London." That's fucking savage. Yeah. And that's attributed to just an old Irish tale. Okay, Chumbawamba.
Oh, God. I got all the long ones in this mess. Yeah. Oh, well. Landlord, my roof has sprung a leak. Don't you remember I told you about it way last week? Landlord, these steps is broken down. When you come up yourself, it's a wonder you don't fall down. $10 you say are you? $10 you say is due? Well, that's $10 more I'll pay you till you fix this house up new. What? You're gonna get eviction orders? You're gonna cut off my heat? You're gonna take my furniture and throw it in the street? Uh-huh. You're talking high and mighty, talk on till you get through. You ain't gonna be able to say a word if I land a fist on you. Police, police, come and get this man. He's trying to ruin the government and overturn the land. Coppers whistles, patrol bells, arrest, precinct station, iron cell. Headline in press, man threatens landlord, tenant held no bail. Judge gives Negro 90 days in county jail. That's from Langston Hughes, 1940.
Hell yeah. I've actually read this poem before. Yeah. I read it in a class once. It's a good one.
I didn't realize it was a poem until I started reading it out loud. I was like, oh, this shit rhymes. Like,
yeah. Langston Hughes read a lot of cool, I guess what by modern standards we would call leftist poetry.
Hell yeah.
He was a cool dude.
I feel like poetry was a lot cooler in, like, the 30s and 40s, and, like, now there's, like, 3 poets that I've read in the past 10 years that don't make me want to gouge my eyes out.
Oh, here's a good one. Johnny Rotten, the man who once screamed about anarchy in the UK, has booted squatters out of his luxury West London flat. John was furious when squatters moved in at the same time his flat went on the market. Says a spokesman, yes, they were punks, but they're not there any longer. I am not sure how John got rid of them. John may have been a punk himself, but he's an upstanding citizen now. I am sure he never had to squat anywhere. News cutting in Raising Hell fanzine, 1987.
Damn.
I fucking hate the Sex Pistols.
Me too.
They're like, I know that fucking, like, okay, the phrase fake punk is very, like, kind of, you know, whatever. It's very stupid, but God, they're the fakest punks who have ever fucking lived.
I mean, we definitely have talked shit about the Sex Pistols before in the show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I won't go into detail, but yeah, fuck the Sex Pistols. I'll do it again.
Fuck all of them.
Yeah. Next up, we have a quote from a real punk, which is just, let's lynch the landlord, from Jello Biafra. I have this memory burned into my brain of my family went out to eat at this, like, not like fancy Italian restaurant, but like your average New Jersey Italian restaurant before my brother moved back to Iowa. And we were talking about like landlords or something like that, and like just like how much they suck. And my brother and I just like looked at each other. I was like, you know what Jello Biafra says? And then one of us, I think it was me, went like, let's lynch the landlord. And then we were both just like cackling while my parents like stared at us in disbelief in the middle of this like Italian restaurant while we laughed about murdering our landlords.
That's so funny. That's really brave, considering that there was like a 99% chance that there was a landlord somewhere in that restaurant.
That's fine. What are they gonna do? Fight me about it? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fuck them.
All right, and last up we have, consider the igloo, maximum enclosure of space with minimum of labor, cost of materials and transportation nil, and all made of water. Nowadays, of course, the, I'm going to say, Inuits live on welfare handouts in little northern slums. Man no longer houses himself. He is housed. And that's Colin Ward, Anarchy in Action. Just putting aside the outdated term for native Alaskan people there. That's kind of an interesting quote, like, that uses their experience as an example of how, like, we aren't self-sufficient anymore, and we've all like been tricked into living in this, like, over the course of, I don't know, centuries, been tricked into living in this society where we have to pay people like obscene, ever rising costs of money in order to have access to a basic human right.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
And if you don't have copious amounts of money to pay someone who gets to choose whether or not they rent to you based on any amount of random qualifications, then you don't even have the privilege of being unhomed with dignity, where cops will beat you, as we're seeing over in California right now.
That, oh my God, yeah.
Like, what has basically been unhoused people living their lives quietly without affecting the neighborhood has become like a media fiasco, as cops spend millions of dollars removing people from sleeping in a park instead of, like, you know, spending that money on housing or just leaving them the fuck alone. Like,
it's
insane how criminalized being homeless is when the only alternative is paying a private company thousands of dollars to have the, like, privilege of living in a house where they hate you.
Yeah.
No, it's insane. I don't want to get, like, too much into, like, shitty landlords, because I will get furious, because, like, I unironically side with Jello Biafra on this.
Yeah, I've never had a good experience with a landlord. At best, I've had, the best experience I've ever had with a landlord is one where I never see them and never have to talk to them.
Same.
And, as someone who is currently sitting in an apartment that is really cold right now because they haven't turned on the heat in like a week, because it's been just warm enough outside to get away with not turning the heat on, and I've been fucking freezing in my own bedroom for the past week. Yeah, this song is hitting hard this week.
Yeah. Literally, I've lived in this house that I'm currently in since August, and there's a hole in our kitchen ceiling that they have not fixed. They keep saying they're going to fix it. They keep, because our tub is leaking into our kitchen, and we keep going, our tub is leaking into our kitchen, and they send someone out about once a month, and they like kick it around and like look at it and go, okay, it's fixed, call us in a week and we'll fix up the hole. And then it isn't fixed, and then they don't fix up the hole, and it's driving me fucking insane. Like,
yeah.
It's literally been like the entirety of the time that I have lived here. We have had a hole in our ceiling, bags of fucking like plaster and sheetrock just sitting in our fucking living room because these people will not fix the fucking problem with our tub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, cool, thanks, man.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, it also is just reminding me of all of the shit with like landlords, like throughout the past year of pandemic times of people losing income and losing their jobs and not being able to afford rent. Like just how absolutely ghoulish and unempathetic, like all of these stories you've seen about landlords have been.
Yep.
Like, I am lucky enough that I've been working throughout the pandemic and being fine and not ever facing the prospect of not having somewhere to live. But, and beyond that, the state I live in had rent relief programs and like a moratorium on evictions and stuff. And it's like, well, that's fine and like better than nothing. But you know damn well that no landlord was going to do that, like of their own accord. The only reason that they're abiding by those things is because it's literally illegal not to.
Yeah. I saw someone posting around on Twitter. I will leave them nameless for sake of not getting them in any trouble. But someone was living, I think it's in California, and they passed a like a rent relief bill that basically like if you applied for it, the state would reimburse your landlord 80% of what you owe them from the pandemic, and the landlord was supposed to take like a 20% cut in like whatever. And the landlord was refusing to sign the documents allowing that to happen because they wouldn't settle for 80% of the rent owed. They wanted 100%. Like, they're, that person is not a person. That is a ghoul. That is a monster.
It's, I guess it's obvious then that the lyrical content of this song is slumlords and scummy housing practices. I have to say, you know, we've talked a lot about how Tub Thumper was an early album for me. And this was the first, listening to this song and reading the lyrics of it was the first time that like made me conscious of the fact that landlords are leeches.
Yeah.
And that is something that I carried around in my head like for most of my life now, ever since I first heard it when I was like 11, 12 years old. And obviously like my lived experience as like an 11-year-old growing up in a house that my parents owned in the suburbs was different than now. I'm, you know, in my late 20s living in an apartment that someone is so gracious to allow me to live in. But like, I've just had that sort of like antipathy for people who hoard the resource of housing and then charge people, vulnerable underclass people, money to live in said housing. Like, I've carried that belief in me for a long time, and this song is to thank for that, so thanks, Chumbawamba.
Thank you, Chumbawamba.
The song is also from the perspective of a scummy landlord, which I think is a funny choice. It kind of adds a little bit of humor to it instead of it just being like a very depressing, like very like shitty, like story or like a thing to experience.
Yeah. Is it from the perspective of a landlord or is it from the perspective of an apartment? Because as I pointed out to you before, the cover art for this is Danbert in his signature brick suit. So is Danbert playing the part of an apartment in this song?
Oh man, that's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could interpret it either way.
Yeah.
Because like my favorite lyric in the song is in the first verse when he says, "What you get is what you see. It's a trickle down theory and it's coming to me." Yeah. So that to me is like, okay, like the landlord is the ruling class, the wealthy are getting all of the power and money from the supposed trickle down economics. But I suppose you could say that the apartment is earning money from trickle down economics. I do like the idea of Danbert like playing an apartment with his brick suit.
It's avant-garde enough that it makes sense for Chumbawamba.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
I think that my favorite line is you can't smell a rat when your nose is out. Just the delivery on that is so good. And the idea that like you can't like notice how scummy a landlord is being, or that you can't do anything about it when your nose is out, which like you're out on the line for this money that you can't afford to raise a ruckus like that.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure I could be a dick and like pester my landlord about getting this shit done. And then I would find myself not having a place to live in July. Like the fact that so many of the channels we have to like protect ourselves don't actually grant us any protection against like being evicted. And the fact that most places you don't have to give a reason why you're evicting someone, you can just be like, oh, your lease is out, get out. Like,
makes and it that's not even technically an eviction. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, your lease is out and I'm electing not to renew it.
Yeah. Like, the fact that, like, you can do that without any sort of reason means that, like, if you were trying to better yourself during a time, like, when something is happening to you, it really just makes it impossible. It's like such a fucking corrupt system. It's insane. Yeah.
And like here in the United States, I believe many states, I don't want to say most states because I'm obviously not familiar with the like rental laws and tenant rights in every single state. But in every state I've lived in, landlords have to give you like either like between 30 and 90 days notice of your lease expiring. And at that time, if they don't want to renew it, they have to tell you then. But still, even then, 30 to 90 days is not that long, and it just puts you in another vulnerable position,
especially like, when like the process for rent has become so fucking insane.
And it's like, also so expensive, like moving is expensive and then applying for an apartment is expensive, and like it's just it's the housing situation across the entire country is just so absolutely wild because of things like that. And like the person who is the most vulnerable is the tenant, and they are the person who is the most routinely made more vulnerable and exploited. So like you're right, like you know, you can complain all you want about the hole in your ceiling, but you have to it's kind of like a calculated risk. It's like how far can I push my landlord into actually taking care of making this a livable space
before I push them too hard and they kick me out and put someone
because
else
they
in.
Think you're annoying.
Like
so
when I was moving out of my last place and looking for places where I currently am, I was looking at like, oh, maybe I could afford to get like a studio apartment. And the amount of paperwork and shit that people wanted for a studio apartment in like the suburbs of Philadelphia was insane. Like you have to have 3 months rent up front. We need you to show pay stubs for the past 2 months, showing that you make three times the amount on the bill. On top of that, you have to have a 650 credit score and two fucking like references. It's like, for what? For a box? For a room? I'm not like getting like a fucking mansion. Why do you need all this? I'm gonna give you money every month and then I'm gonna live here like that. It's insane.
I remember a few years ago fucking the person I was dating and living with at the time, this was back in like 2015, I want to say, she and I were looking for a new apartment together with one of our friends, and we decided to look in Upper Manhattan where we were currently living, as well as try to see if we could find like a nice place in like somewhere in Brooklyn. And we applied to a place in Brooklyn that we really liked, and fucking because one of our credit scores was like less than 700, we had the landlords told us that in order to like, they would rent the place out to us if we paid 10 months rent up front. 10.
That's insane.
10 months rent up front, $18,000. It was something like $18,000, and I was just blown away. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, with $18,000, I could go put a down payment on a fucking house. Why would I be looking to rent a small three-bedroom apartment in fucking Brooklyn if I had $18,000 to spare?
Yeah.
And then when we talked to the realtor about it, like, we were using a realtor because it's the only fucking way you can get a decent apartment in New York City, we fucking said to him like, that's ridiculous, can we talk them down? And he said with a straight face, he was like, oh well, sometimes what people do is they ask like their parent to pay the security deposit, and then they pay back their parents over time. And I'm just like, this is absolutely fucking ludicrous.
That's very Brooklyn.
I was like, that was the moment in my life that I was like, I'm never fucking living in Brooklyn, like, ever. like if New York City is a shitty place to find an apartment, Brooklyn is somehow even worse. Like, oh my God. I will never forget that. And it's just like, that is, like, what were we supposed to do? We had no choice. Like, we either accepted the offer or didn't. And, like, I can imagine if we had been in a more vulnerable position, like, you know, thankfully we were able to continue living at the place we already lived. We just decided to renew our lease. But if we hadn't had that option, it's like, well, fuck, what are we supposed to do? Like, we have these options in front of us. And, like, you know, we might have made, like, the very stupid and ill-advised decision to try to pay that fucking 10 months of rent up front for a fucking good but not great apartment. Like,
you want to hear the real kicker on something? So when I was looking at apartments in Philadelphia, I found a studio apartment not too far from where I am now. That was like $600 a month or something like that. And I had a year's worth of rent saved up because of the way that my unemployment hit. But I have I had no job and I had no like employment history, and my credit score is probably in the negatives by now. So I hit them up and I was just like, hey, I'm interested in the spot. I don't have any of these things, but I will pay the lease in full, like, for a year. And they said no.
Yeah.
How am I, like, what do you do if you don't have, like, a job and you need somewhere to live? Are you not supposed to find somewhere to live? Like, the only reason I'm able to live.
No, that is the answer. You're like, because you don't have a job, you're not worthy of having a place to live.
Like, literally the only reason that I'm allowed to live where I am now is because my roommate makes enough that he covers my portion of, like, the required income for the house. Like, he doesn't pay my rent, obviously. I pay my fucking rent. But like on our paperwork, he is responsible for making X amount of income that our house requires. And that's fucking insane.
That's absolutely wild. Ugh.
In Newark, like, slumlords are fucking garbage, but I do love that slumlords will at least accept bribes and shit. Because when our last house in Newark that was in, like, the fucking boonies, when we applied, they were like, okay, we can run your credit for this house, or you can pay a $500 deposit right now. And I was like, here's $500. Do not check my credit. Like,
that is fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Like, it went towards, like, my, like, our, like, payment or whatever. But it was just like, you can either, like, well, like, check your credit scores, or you can pay an extra $500 deposit. It's like, here you go. Like, do not check my credit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to move back to Newark. Jeez.
Newark is getting so fucking expensive. The house we lived in sold for $250,000.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you've been there. That house is not worth $250,000.
No, it's not.
Not at all. Oh, it was a nice house. Not worth $250,000. I'm waiting for the housing market to collapse, and then I'm going to burn down a city block somewhere.
Yeah.
They're building condos. This is the last thing I'll say before we dive into the music or the rest of the lyrics. But they're building condos at the end of my block. You've seen where I live in Philly. It's nice. Yeah. It's not that nice. It's like an okay area. They're building condos.
It's like right on the edge of town, like near the interstate, right? Yeah. Not to blow your spot. No. I can edit that part out if you want. But
there's a lot of interstates and a lot of edges of town. They are building 5 condos in this like a lot like the size of my house, and each one of those condos they're selling for $425,000.
That's fucking absurd.
It's insane. I have no idea. Like, if you pay that much money to live in this neighborhood, you're a fucking moron. It's not worth it. It's not that nice of a neighbor. It's okay. I got no beef with it, but I would not pay fucking $500,000 to live here. You live like a goddamn king in the suburbs. You could buy a town in Ohio for $500,000. We could buy, like, a city block in Daytona for $500,000.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's just...
Like, it's Philly. Philly is not that nice. It's okay. It's, like, a weird, scummy area. Philly's,
like, a perfectly fine city, but, like, it's not... I mean, that's just... I mean, now we're opening up the can of worms of gentrification, and if we start talking about, like, that, we're fucking, like, not gonna finish this podcast until 2 o'clock in the morning, but, like...
Philly's like where you live when, like, you can't afford New York, but you don't want to live in Baltimore. Like, that, it's like, it's like the middle of the line city.
Philadelphia, it's like Baltimore, but a little less shitty.
It's like Baltimore, but there's a train. Like,
Baltimore with a train.
Yeah. With two train lines.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Two of them. Yeah.
I like Baltimore, though. I fuck with Baltimore. But like,
I've never been to Baltimore. There's like,
like entire sections of Baltimore that are just like straight like blown out houses. And it's weird because it's like those are the areas that are closest to like the interstate. So you'll get off like the highway and then just like drive through like 10 blocks of like abandoned buildings. Like not even like, oh, it's a bad neighborhood. Like, no, like there is no one living there. And then like after like 10 blocks, it's like, oh, it's Baltimore. Like there are people here.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
That is weird. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
I can't get too much further into this.
No, exactly. That's what I said. We'll just spend an hour.
I'll spend the rest of the episode talking about how much I hate landlords and how the housing market is fucking predatory and shitty. And it's all because of capitalism. Yep.
And it's only getting so much worse. The average price of a house in America has been going up 15% per quarter for the past year.
Yep.
That's insane. That is insane inflation. There's no way this bubble isn't going to burst and it's going to ruin people's fucking lives. And most of them are going to be
like
people
it did
who
in 2008.
Property.
It's a good thing we learned our lesson the last time that happened, right?
We're literally heading towards another fucking depression and I can't wait. I'm just I'll just die. I don't care at this point.
Wait, all right. You want to talk about some music?
Yeah. My one note is the song name Drip 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 is referring to Danbert's outfit in the picture for the single.
He's got a nice drip. Yeah, that's right.
It's all about his drip drip drip. And that the chorus for this song, absolute banger to sing along to. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Take me in, throw me out, put me up, let me down, baby. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna write in my next cover letter.
Yeah. That's my next tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Take me in, throw me out, put me up, let me down.
That's a lengthy tramp stamp. I appreciate the commitment. Okay, musically, let's talk about the fact that this is a Danbert track, and honestly, I think it's one of his best.
It's a good one.
I love it. I think this is like a prime Danbert track. You know, the brick suit, his delivery in the verses is so like
it's so good.
He kind of captures this like smarminess that you think like a shitty landlord might have. I love the live videos of him just like in the brick suit, like smoking a cigarette while singing this song.
After having seen those videos, I can't listen to the song without imagining him doing like that weird bob thing he does while singing.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love the percussion intro in this song. I don't know what it is. It's just like a really simple like percussion beat that I think establishes the song pretty well.
I think the intro of the song sounds like the Tarzan soundtrack.
The Tarzan soundtrack. Okay, that's an interesting take.
I mean the Tarzan soundtrack was what's his fucking name?
Phil Collins.
I almost said Peter Gabriel. Phil Collins.
Ooh, imagine Peter Gabriel doing the Tarzan soundtrack. That would slap. Yeah.
I mean, the Tarzan soundtrack does slap. I mean, it's a compliment. But like, there's a lot of like really weird percussion in that soundtrack because that's kind of Phil Collins' whole shtick. But that's what the
interesting. The percussion. It's funny the way our brains make connections like that, huh? I don't know. It's funny that with how intense the lyrics are and the intense feelings the lyrics have inspiring in us, the song is actually very chill. It's not like this loud raucous punk song. It's like a really chill vibe in the chorus, in the verses. Like it's just this kind of like percussion loop with some soft synths in it, and Danbert's doing like this spoken word thing over it. And then it hits the chorus and it's like a little bit louder and a little bit more up tempo, but not really like heavy at any point. Yeah. So I feel like the contrasting like tone of like how intense the lyrics are versus how kind of chill the music is kind of cool.
It's very laid back. It's definitely
like
once you hear it and you can picture Danbert like smoking a cigarette while singing it, it's like, okay, this is a song that you can smoke a cigarette while playing.
Yeah. I also think like it's kind of like a welcome, like really smartly placed in the album that like the first two songs, Tub Thumping and Amnesia, are kind of like cranked up to 10, right? Like they're the band firing at full blast, and then they like place this third song that's like really chill, and it's like, okay, let's take a breather, but we're gonna get fucking real with you. it's kind of cool. I've always been a big fan of this song for that reason.
It should also be noted,
really,
it should also be noted that this was the third single off of Tub Thumper.
Yes, that's right.
I think we vaguely mentioned it because we talked about the single artwork, but I once again, I appreciate the fact that Chumbawamba were just like, all right, first three tracks on the album, those are the singles in order, baby. None of this placing the hit song at number 7 and then like the second best one at number 4. They were just like, nope, 1, 2, 3, baby, bang them out.
Let's see who the real fans are after track 3.
Yeah.
Honestly, kind of a weird choice for a single based on the rest of the album. I think there might have been other songs that would have been a better choice, in my opinion. Like, this is kind of like a very chill song, and I don't know if like chill music did that well, and like chill rock music didn't do as well in the 90s, but also who fucking cares? It's a good song.
Yeah, it definitely has big like B-side vibes, but yeah, Chumbawamba doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
The song was also reworked on the ABCs of Anarchism, which is an EP that Chumbawamba did 2 years later, I think. That was like a parody of like children's songs, and it was about the water table and like water pollution. Hell yeah.
have you ever listened to the ABCs of Anarchism?
Yes. I think so. There's like a weird like, it's all one track on Spotify, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. It's something.
Yeah.
There is also, this is all stuff that we probably should have done in the intro. There is also the country western version of this appears on the Amnesia mini album, and it fucking bangs. I think I might like that version more than the actual version of the song. And yeah, I like the actual version of the song a lot.
These songs are really
good. So fucking good. Like, once again, I know we mentioned this before, but like they could have so easily like phoned that shit in and just been like, it's the country western version. I'm playing an acoustic guitar and there's a horn in the background. But they went fucking whole hog. The fucking harmonica part in the country western version of this track. Oh, so good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's important to note that in that same album, they had the country western songs, and then they had the acoustic versions of other songs. So it's like, no, there is a clear distinction. Yeah. I also saw you had a note here about the horn flourishes in this song, and I 100% agree that those are just so tasty. I love them.
Those little I think that this album, in general, really showcases Chumbawamba's attention to detail.
Yeah,
like, it's a good album, and it has good songs on it. Obviously, I mean, we're talking about it fucking like 13 years later.
I mean, this is the album that is responsible for us knowing about Chumbawamba. Yeah. So yeah,
and like the songwriting is good, but I don't think the songwriting is necessarily any more competent than in past EPs, like, or albums. I don't think like you could sit there and be like, wow, these are all like, this is Chumbawamba's strongest work. But where they are strongest on this one, I think, is like the little productions to detail in or attention to detail in production.
Yes.
Like, I think that's what sets this one like a little bit above, at least so far, like that this is.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that. Like, their like production techniques, I think, are kind of at their peak right now, and maybe not at their peak, but like this is like probably the cleanest and most well produced album of all of them so far. And I mean, like, it makes sense that it's the one that's on the major label, right?
Yeah.
Because it just has that like extra attention to detail and that extra like finesse, like studio finesse, that I think that I think really helps accentuate the very good songwriting.
Yeah. Like there are definitely like great songs on past albums, and there are some that, like, listening to this, it's just like, damn, I wish that some of those songs got the attention to detail that these ones get. But
yeah,
that's my wish. I'm gonna fight the fucking wah pedal in this song to completely contradict what I just said.
I have to be honest with you, I never noticed wah pedals in Chumbawamba songs until you point them out, because they're usually pretty subtle, and then you point them out, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess there is a wah pedal in this song.
It's one of those things, it's like listening to the cowbell in that Blue Oyster Cult song, where it's not that noticeable until you think about it, and then it's all you can hear.
Yeah.
But so it's not that bad in the studio version, but in the live video, it's obnoxious. And I went from watching the live video back to listening to like the studio version. It was just like, I can't do this. Like, yeah,
that's my impression of a wah pedal.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to, like, you know, this, there's something that's worth pointing out in the music here that, like, I've identified as a Chumbawamba trope, almost, any song that has like Dunstan or Dambert or Alice as the vocalist, the three singers who are more like either like shouty or talk singy or like spoken word, then like the really pristine like vocal harmonies, like there's almost always a really pretty chorus that goes along with their more gritty verses, which I think is just a funny that I've listened to enough Chumbawamba at this point to be like, ah, a Chumbawamba trope.
I mean,
but they... you know what? It works. Yeah. It always works. It always hits. Yeah. I'm always like, yeah, I love it. I love the contrast.
we've talked about it in the past, but there are definitely like writing trips that Chumbawamba takes advantage of, and that's definitely one of them where it's like, all right, we're gonna shout a bit, but then there's this beautiful harmonic chorus that like lifts you out of it for a second.
Yeah.
The chorus in this track is really short too, and I think that is something that they use to their benefit because it doesn't disrupt the Dambert kind of like mumble rapping at you while like smoking a cigarette for too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's an effective trope, I think. Like I'm always a fan of it. I'm always like, ooh, there it is.
Yeah. In a slightly better timeline, instead of becoming like the acoustic punk musician that he is now, Dambert became like a white rapper instead.
What would be Danbert's white rapper name?
It would be Dambert, but it would be like Dan-Bert or something like that.
I'm into it.
Yeah, Dambert, but the B is big like in Q-Bert.
Oh my god. Is it also backwards?
Yeah.
That's got some 90s white hip hop vibes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me that Dambert in that, like, that brick suit, if he had, like, a big gold chain on, he couldn't be, like, some MC Hammer knockoff or something?
Yeah.
Like a B-tier Flavor.
You want to take it down
Flav
to Chum.
Yes.
All right, Teddy, you want to take it down to Chumbawamba versus the people?
Absolutely. Let's mosey on over.
Boop, 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 boop. That was me dripping on down to Chumbawamba versus the people, I guess.
I wish I could do that, like that thing where you make like the water droplet sound with your cheeks, but I can't.
Oh, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
Sample I just tried in. To do it. I just tried to do it and it didn't sound good. Now, as far as I can tell, this song did not have a music video. Is that correct?
I don't believe it did, because
I was not able to find one.
From what I can tell at this point, like, Tub Thumper came out and they were like, oh, fuck yeah, Chumbawamba is going to be big. And then Amnesia came out and they were like, maybe not. And then this one came out and they were like, all right, like, to cut it. Like, we tried.
Which sucks, because Amnesia is a really good song.
It is.
And I actually really enjoy the Amnesia music video.
Yeah. It's good, but like, I could see, like, if I was a studio exec, like, it was obvious by the time that Amnesia came out that Tub Thumper was like a hit, and that it wasn't like, oh, Chumbawamba is now like a big band. It's just like, no, they had their 90s one hit, which I feel like was more of a thing then.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
I guess in that vein, I'm gonna start things off a little different this week in Chumbawamba versus the people and talk about I want to read this line from their fucking from the song's fucking Wikipedia page.
Go for it.
That's wrote, despite the failure of Amnesia on modern rock radio stations, Universal Records still released Drip 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 to the stations. Semicolon, it received little play. Damn.
Like, dead. All right. Did you have to do that? Did you have to be that mean?
You ever read a sentence that is technically just a fact, but you can tell that the fact has an opinion behind it? all right, let's talk about these YouTube videos.
Yeah. I did find another one. I don't know if I linked it, but there's one that's just a photo of a cat and like a very 2000 cell phone.
Aw.
Yeah.
Cute. I like cats, but no, that's not in here. Let's talk about the two that are linked in here. The first one is the infamous Brick Suit Dambert live video.
Hell yes.
Of them performing in Essen in 1997. We've returned to this concert quite a few times. Uploaded by Huppleplop 1848. Thank you, Huppleplop. Man, Dambert just like kind of bobbing back and forth with a cigarette in his hand is so good.
Yeah.
I love it. In the brick suit.
There's a comment on here that says, they're one of those bands with awesome songs, but pretty okay live performances. What? How can you watch this video of like a man in a brick suit, like wiggling his ass while smoking a cigarette and be like, that's okay. That's just okay. What is good to you? You fucking psychopath.
I have a controversial opinion. I actually agree with that comment to an extent, at least when it comes to this particular video. I don't think this is a particularly good like vocal performance in this video. Like something's off about it.
I don't know.
It might be more the mixing than the actual vocals, but there's something off about this video. I've watched it a few times and I've always found it a little disappointing. But
I don't know. I like it.
Dan Burt's brick suit and like whole routine kind of makes up for it for
exactly. me. I mean, it sounds like a concert that was recorded in the 90s, probably poorly.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like other videos from the Essen show just sound better, but that's a fucking very like nitpicky and like nerd ass complaint to have. Like, well, the other Essen shows had slightly better audio mix, so I think I like them better. Like, you know, like, it's fine.
Yeah. Shut up, nerd. I'm gonna stuff you in a brick locker.
Okay, I've got a comment from 10 years ago from a user called China Rider who wrote, "Great job with this. Always thought Dunst took lead on this. Dambert is Greet. Another face. Thanks ever so pouting this oop aunt thingy." What? I fucking love this comment. What the fuck are they saying?
Hell yeah. there's a comment a few lines under that from Brittany B 7 years ago who says,
yes.
"The song always reminds me of playing the underwater level on Super Mario 64. This album was the soundtrack to that game in our house." And then the first response is from LE2Key 7 years ago who says, "The song reminds me of Dave Chappelle's Piss on You music video."
Oh man.
What? Very Ooh, different wow. vibes.
Yeah, very, very different vibes. I love that there's another person out there who, like me, grew up in the 90s, 2000s, and just listened to Chumbawamba while playing video games. That's
Hell
great.
Yeah. On that train of thought, I have a comment that, a comment from the other video that I had made note of before. That's from Mr. Default 8 years ago. Nerd moment. Beat Metal Gear Solid 1 and then heard this and could have sworn Liquid's VA was singing.
Oh my god.
So now we know that everyone who listened to this album in the 90s was a fucking nerd.
Can I just read the description of this video?
Go for it.
This fucking video is just an upload from Lando Wilson that is just the song set to a photo of a hand. And Lando wrote, "I don't hold credit for the music being performed in this song, but that is my hand." Fuck yeah, Lando. This is on that same video from someone with a Pikachu avatar. And their username is Land Before Time, time like the spice. And they wrote, "What's up, my drippy droopies? How's this drippy ass song treating you?"
Can
we start a Chumbawamba fan club called the drippy droopies?
underneath that is one from Zach Crow 5 years ago who just says, "I slash gash to this," which is awful.
Oh god! No! Don't say that. Oh god, that's disgusting.
Oh god. All right, there's one here 10 years ago from Gadsden who says, "I run a site that exposes the NWO, and I'd like to say I'm the water droplet of the Chinese water torture on the face of the NWO, so I love using this vid for the drip 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 thing, lol. Thanks."
Oh my god. Wow, why is this song the one that brought out all the fucking freaks? Like...
Something about those drips.
Here's another comment on the live performance from David 9 years ago. "What is the name of the vocalist who looks like he's wearing fabric bricks? Just wondering." Smiley face. So that's good. Someone's horny for Dambert in the comments of this YouTube video. I'm happy. Dambert deserves it.
Yeah. get that ego boost, Dambert.
Yeah. You know how they said, you know how that thing came out of there was like an opinion survey that Prince William is the hottest bald person in the world.
Not true at all.
It's Dambert. I disagree. How could you say such a thing when Dambert no bacon exists?
Yeah. Realistically, it's Elio whenever he nuts up and shaves his head.
Elliot needs to shave his head. Yeah. He's going to be on the show next week. We need to bother him into
shaving
his
head. We should get him to shave his head on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, in this highly visual medium called a podcast.
Good audio content. I am looking at the other Drip 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 video, which is just a photo of a cat uploaded.
Okay.
Which also seems to have brought out like the real fucking freaks. Hold on, where did the comment go? All right, so this one is
all the drippy droopies.
Yeah. This one is from 10 years ago from Jeremy K, and it's in all capital letters, and it says, "Eat sleeping crap. Ha ha ha. Love you guys. Heart emoji. I miss you. Come back to us."
You know what? I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's also a comment here 7 years ago from a Texas Catwoman who says, "Honey, if you have exceptionally oily skin, really tremendous in the long run for avoiding wrinkles, and live in a high humidity area, the last thing you need is a heavy moisturizer during the day. Save it for the night and use one of the age-reversing products. Take it from one that has been there and is there. Otherwise, you will clog your pores." Dot, 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 dot.
Thanks? I don't know what possessed you to leave this comment on a fucking Chumbawamba music video, but okay.
Oh, I found it. Okay, so there's a follow-up comment from her that says, "Oi, sorry. The comment was for that stupid commercial that YouTube uses to clog our minds with. Sigh. Sorry."
Oh my god, that's amazing. That is a huge boomer anarchist moment. Yeah. I love it. All right, Teddy. Do you have any final thoughts to share about this song, Drip Drip Drip, about anti-aging cream, about all our drippy droopies out there?
Yeah, I forgot to wear sunscreen when I went to that protest on Saturday, and oh, no. I got a mask sunburn, and I'm furious about it.
That is fucking wild. Yeah.
So wear sunscreen, especially when you go outside. Yeah. Even if you think you won't get burned, wear sunscreen. It's good for your skin. You should be wearing, even if it's not summer, like at least like a base coating of like an SPF 30 in like a moisturizer if you want to not look like a fucking rock after like 40.
If you're going to be like in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it helps prevent skin cancer. Yeah. That's always good.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's a good song. I love the little flourishes in it. It's pretty laid back, and honestly, it does drag a little bit. It's like a 5 minute long track, with that weird outro part at the end, which I do like, but it does get up there for someone who has the attention span of a rat like myself.
Yeah.
How about you, Dan?
I am a fan. I've always liked this song. I think it's really well placed in the album. I can see where you're coming from with it getting a little on the long side, but it doesn't really bother me because, like, the song itself is like 3.5 minutes, and then like the last minute and a half is like that fucking outro that we didn't really talk about, but like it's
bam,
fucking
bam, bam,
yeah. Bam, it's like that jazzy thing that I used in like the intermission of the tub thumping episode. But other than that, like I still think this is like one of the best Dan Burt Chumbawamba songs. Like it's just got so much of like the Dan Burt charisma, and like, you know, I fall for that trope of like the talk sing accentuated by the really pretty vocal harmony every time.
Yeah, if you asked me to like think of like a line that like sums up like the Dan Burt like line delivery, it'd be the "Can't smell a rat when your nose is out."
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. All right, if you had to rate the song, Teddy, what would you give it?
I'm gonna give it a drip out of a drip out of a drop.
Ooh, the drop. Wow.
I was just watching
a lot of dubstep lately.
I was literally just watching a tutorial on how to make like a hard bass drop before we were recording this.
Fuck yeah, I can't wait to hear what you make.
How about you, Dan? What would you give this?
I would give this a drippy, droopy, drippy ass out of an SPF 30.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you want to bring us home with our leftism of the week.
All right, so today we're going to talk about the coup that is happening in Myanmar. It's been going on for about 2 months, but it's doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and it feels like something that more people should be aware of, because the only reason that I initially found out about this was because of like a Twitter meme where someone who was attending a school virtually in the US, their internet was getting shut off due to the protests, and their professor pretty much like told them like to fuck off because of it, and it like blew up and became a thing. But that's the only reason that I found out about a coup going on in a fucking other country, and I just wanted to provide a little bit more information about it. So once again, we are not a news podcast. We're not a historical podcast. You should take this as like the little seed in your research, and then use it to sprout many beautiful things past this. But to sum it up, basically 2 months ago, there was a military coup in Myanmar. They've been under some sort of military occupation since 1988, but have slowly been ceding power to a democratic process over the last decade or so. But in their 2021 election, their general election greatly limited the military power, with the military's proxy party winning only 33 out of the 476 parliamentary seats, with the majority of the seats going to the National League for Democracy, which is a party focused on democracy and human rights that has been becoming increasingly popular in Myanmar. Starting on February 1st, about 400 elected officials were placed under house arrest, and police filed criminal charges against Aung San Suu Kyi, the leader of the NLD, for allegedly importing unlicensed communication devices used by her security detail. Since she was jailed, there have been many different forms of protests from the people of Myanmar, including boycotts of military-related products, labor strikes, strikes by teachers and healthcare workers, and protests, many of which have ended in violence from the military against their own citizens. At least 500 people have been killed in this revolt as of when we are recording this, with thousands more being imprisoned for this. The military has also, as I mentioned before, been shutting down the internet in the country, and like doing like blackouts of it whenever people are trying to organize to keep people in the dark. And they've been imposing curfews to try and limit people from being able to organize and protest, and using that as a way to further criminalize people for trying to protest against this government. But that hasn't been stopping people. It's been pretty much like nonstop backlash against the military for this, because as I mentioned above, it's not even like in this country, like we had what, like 76 million people voted for Trump. Like that's like a close to a third of our population. Here, the military got like a tenth of the vote for like their parliament. So it's obvious that this isn't like even like a thing where it's like, oh, the minority won. It's like, no, like the very small minority of the military won. So they're pretty much fighting like their entire citizenship right now. But their most recent tactic is called the garbage strike, where citizens are piling garbages in intersections of the city of Yangon, which is one of their capitals, or maybe their capital. I don't know. It's one of the big cities there, which basically like A, is disgusting, but B, like stops like vehicles from being able to pass easily and disrupts everything, and also is gross. And that's, I think that's like a very creative way I've heard to protest, and I'm a big fan of it. One of the main,
I mean, that's the only way protests work, right? Yeah, by disrupting the status quo. So like, that fucking rules.
Like realistically, like the status quo, like pretty much everyone, like no one in this country wants this except like the military. It's pretty much like just a military takeover. As I said, like even in like America, where we had our whatever you want to call January 6th, like that is at least backed by like probably like a third of the people in this fucking country.
Right.
Whereas
right.
this has like no standing other than the fact that the military was losing power and has slowly been losing power and was scared about that. But one of the main organizers in these protests is the CDM, or the Civil Disobedience Movement, and they do have a GoFundMe that you can donate money to if you're sitting there like, oh fuck, this sounds awful, what can I, a person across the ocean, do to support Myanmar? But it looks like at the moment their donations have been paused. The statement that they made was in Burmese, which I unfortunately do not understand at all, and the Google Translate was not super clear due to the shittiness of Google Translate, but it does look like it has something to do with the credit card processor not letting them access funds, so they have paused donations for now. Hopefully they'll get that figured out in a few days, and if you have some money that you can throw them to keep this protest shit going.
they've raised over $9 million.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Which is great, but I mean, it's one of those things where like the military was in power before this to some degree. Yeah. So the military has access to like the complete funds of right. this country that right. like we have been providing aid to. I think Biden just froze like $1 billion of humanitarian aid to them until this gets sorted out, which is yeah. like shitty, but it means that before this they had like a large influx of money, which is probably right. not great for the people protesting.
Oh, what a surprise. You look yeah. for even 5 minutes into any like military coup that's happening throughout mm-hmm. the world, and the U.S. has at some point yeah. funded it. Awesome.
Yep. And of
Jesus
course,
Christ.
Of course, we're like, now the U.S. is going like, oh no, this is bad. We decry this, but it's like, yeah, but like, you've also, but it, I don't know, like, out of all of the shit that the U.S. has funded, I don't think this one is as direct
it's
as...
not as egregious, no.
Because like, realistically, I don't know the full history. I am a dumb white person from New Jersey. Yeah. Myanmar has been going through shit since like 1988. And this was supposed to be like the end point of like a long process of reverting from military like power to democracy. So it's kind of like you can't give them money without giving it to the military. But also now that the military is like, fuck you guys, it's like, oh shit, we probably shouldn't have given them so much money. But before then, you didn't want to be like, oh no, you can't have any money, when they, at least up until this point, were doing the things that they were supposed to. Like, yeah. there was a drama, I don't have this part written down, so I might butcher it a little bit more than the rest of this, but in 2011, the NLD party ran like a bunch of candidates and then had them pretty much get forced out of their elections because they weren't technically registered. However, you're supposed to register political parties within Myanmar. So they went back and were like, okay, we'll play 100% by your rules. None of our guys got in. We'll come back. And I think they do like 2 year cycles. And then every year since then have been gaining momentum and gaining more and more seats. And at this point is where the military stepped in and was like, no, never mind. Like, we're not going to let you have this, when it's obvious that this is like what the people want. I don't want to get too super into it because like the National League for Democracy, while that sounds like a wonderful party name and they do have some very communist-esque imagery on their site, yeah. has apparently like been defending like a genocide. So
oh,
it's like a super complicated situation that I am 100% not qualified to speak on. But I still think that Myanmar has the right to a free democratic election, and a military coup is not the answer, especially when they're committing acts of violence against their own people. So
yeah,
donate some money to the CDM, which is a different thing than the NLD, which is what I was just speaking about, that may or may not have been denying a genocide. I didn't look super into it because, as I said, this is cramming like 40 years of a nation's history into something for you to listen to at the end of a podcast where we made jokes about murdering our landlord.
yeah, those were jokes.
Yeah.
I promise those were jokes.
Parody. But yeah, so that's my rambling about Myanmar. Sometimes when we do these things, they're funny, and this is one of those where it's just like, it really sucks. And like,
there's really nothing funny to say about this. No,
I stand in solidarity, and I'm glad that the people of Myanmar are fighting back, and I'm glad that they're organizing and that they're using wild ass techniques like garbage strikes. But
yeah,
it just shows that like this is a fight that people are going through everywhere, that their
it's
fight
a global
is,
problem yeah, right now. Yeah.
Of it's us against them. And I hope that they win.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. We'll keep an eye out on that GoFundMe to see if it opens back up. Definitely worth throwing some bucks at that.
There was another link to donate, but I don't think you're able to unless you are registered in the UK, which some of our listeners might be, but you
That's
had to like
true, yeah.
you had to like provide a phone number, and it wouldn't let me with my US number, so I was like, oh well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there was like a limit on how much you could do based on, I don't know, I just trying to read the Google Translate for like instructions on how to donate money in Burmese is not what that technology was meant to be used for. It's more for like, what's the title of this YouTube video mean, not like how do I read the intricate details on how to send money to this organization.
Yeah, what's this comment, what's this YouTube comment on this Mr. Polska video?
Yeah.
All right,
so yeah,
well, Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and if there's any other ways that, you know, that come up that we can help, we will be happy to plug them. But for now, I think that about does it for us this week, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it, as always. We have two videos to plug from friends of the show, Nim and Henry, who both made really good videos about Chumbawamba. Nim's video is kind of like an album by album breakdown of like the musical styles on each album, and kind of like geared towards recommending like which one to start with if you like XYZ type of music.
So if you're one of our fans out there that for some reason just like to listen to me and Dan talk and are like, maybe I should check out the Chumbawamba band they keep mentioning, this is a good place to get an idea of where you should start. It's like a choose your own adventure.
And then the video Henry made is kind of more of like a history of the band themselves, as well as talking about the music. Full disclosure, I haven't actually gotten a chance to watch Henry's video yet, but I like Henry and trust that it's a good video. So we're going to include both links in the show notes to those. And Henry, if you made some piece of shit, I'm coming after you, bud. Just kidding. First we threaten the landlords, then we threaten our listeners, we call our listeners sad millennials with no friends. We're really fucking batting 1,000 here today.
This is the one that gets us canceled. Turns out I'm gonna have been pronouncing Myanmar wrong the entire time and completely misunderstood the situation, and some of the military is gonna come coup me.
The music you heard in this episode was the song Drip 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 from the album Tub Thumper. We do not have the rights, but Universal doesn't seem to have cared about this song very much, so I think we're probably going to be good, right?
Yeah, if they didn't take down this guy's hand video, I think we're in the clear. if you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter at Chumbology Rocks, or you can send us an email at chumbologypod@gmail.com. I also don't know if I ever plugged it on the show, but I was on an episode of Choke Artist that came out like 3 weeks ago at this point. I think I mentioned it on our Twitter page, but listen to that. It was fun. And
you also
our...
did a very fun DJ set.
I did do a fun
DJ set.
What's
the name of the website?
On Datafruits. I don't know if that's posted publicly anywhere. I have it on private on my SoundCloud, so it doesn't get taken down for all the copyright infringement I did. But if that is available to listen somewhere, we will update you on that.
Hell yeah.
And I made a very funny meme on our Twitter account that I did instead of editing last week's show, which
the amnesia edit of the kid on the dance floor. I was a big fan of that meme. It performed
funny.
Pretty well.
Hell yeah, good for us. I never check our Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, if you like us, if you really like us and you want to hear even more of our bullshit on a bi-monthly basis, twice a month, not every other month, you can check us out on patreon.com/chumbology, where every like two-ish weeks we post a bonus episode where we give the Chumbology treatment to a different artist or album or piece of media, and it's been a lot of fun. We did the Eurovision Song Contest a few weeks ago. We just a few days ago recording an episode about Dragon Force that I'm going to post this week, and it's gonna be fun. And as always, if you want to send money to a different like charitable organization or like direct action sort of fund, bail funds, or you know, if the money, the fundraiser for Myanmar reopens, and you still want to listen to our bonus content, we'd be happy to share it with you. Just send us a receipt of your donation, whatever amount it is, and we'll send you whatever you want. If you really want to listen to me and Teddy talk about Roller Coaster Tycoon, for instance, you know, we'd be happy to do that.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
I think that's it. Stay safe. Stay drippy droopy, my drip ass babies.